Several years ago, when I was at one of the summer meetings of the Christmas Tree Growers Association, we went to a Christmas tree farm where they actually collected seeds from fir trees and spruce trees, and then they would sow them and grow them as seedlings and sell them. And they had a demonstration there where they would take us out to a part of the Christmas tree farm where there was huge Christmas trees with massive trunks on them that had been allowed to grow for years and years. And as we got to this demonstration area, they were limbed up off of the ground a little ways, and this man stood there with this big chain in his hand. And they were telling us how these trees produced seeds and how they got them to produce seeds. And the man would take this big chain, and he would stand back, and he would swing the chain and lash it around the trunk of the tree, and then pull on it and rip at the trunk of the tree. He would do that a couple of places, and he would go on to the next tree. What this would do, it would stress the tree out. And for some reason, I still don't understand, this would cause the trees to produce massive amounts of cones and seeds by being stressed out. Maybe it was some kind of survival thing that if the tree wanted to continue to survive, or maybe its kind to survive, that knowing that it was stressed like that and there was a possibility of it dying, it would put off seeds that would be sown into the ground and it would continue to live. Don't know. But the thing that we saw was during this time of stress and suffering, the tree really produced fruit. I call this the fruit of suffering this morning from 2 Corinthians, because oftentimes we don't really understand suffering in our lives, whether it's physical, spiritual, social, financial, psychological, whatever it is. We all suffer. There's no human being on this earth that does not, did not, nor ever will not ever suffer. Even Jesus suffered. And one of the greatest debates about God in our society today is, and often an excuse for disbelief in God, often a reason for turning away from God, often a reason to be mad at God, is if God is a good God, why does He allow suffering and pain? A good question, right? We know God's a good God. Then why does He allow suffering and pain? And why do some people seem to suffer more than others? Sadly, some come to the conclusion that suffering in life is punishment by God. But actually, it's the opposite. It's God's grace and God's love being poured out into our lives. Let me tell you why, according to what Paul says in the Bible. First of all, we have to have a proper perspective about this. And Paul gives us that perspective in Romans chapter 8. When he says, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it." In other words, what he's saying here is that what we suffer on earth is nothing compared with the glory that we're going to experience for all eternity. And he's saying that the creation waits for all this to be revealed when Christ comes back at the consummation of all things. That the creation was subjected to frustration by the will of the one who subjected it. That is God. That it was God's will that all creation be subject to suffering and frustration, in order that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. So we have to have a proper perspective that our present suffering is nothing compared with God's glory. As we wait for all this to be revealed, understanding that God has subjected us and allowed us to suffer so that we might be liberated and experience His glorious freedom. Secondly, we have to understand His divine purpose. How many of you remember Job? If there's anybody that suffered, it was Job. We remember how, I don't have time to get into it today, but the devil came to God, came in the presence of God. And God said, look at my servant Job down here. And the devil challenged God. God knew the final result of what was going to happen. So God, I sort of think sarcastically, said, all right, I'm going to allow you to destroy Job's life, but you can't kill him. You have to let him live. Job suffered, and the first response to his suffering came from his wife. Curse God and die. Curse God because you're suffering. But Job said, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. And in chapter 36 of Job, when Elihu comes and speaks, he says that God is wooing you from the jaws of distress to a spacious place free from restriction, to the comfort of your table laden with choice food. That in Job's suffering, God's purpose was that God was wooing Job back to God, back to himself. So the proper perspective is that our suffering is nothing compared with the glory we're going to experience someday. Secondly, that when God allows us to suffer, he is wooing us, drawing us, or trying to draw us closely to him. Paul, on the other hand, speaks to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians, praising God for suffering. He's praising God for God's attributes and qualities in his description of God. I want you to just think of how he describes God. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Father of compassion. Some texts say the Father of mercies. The word mercy in the Greek implies pity. The Father of pity. He looks on people and he pities them. It comes from a Greek word which means to exercise pity. God is the Father who pities and who exercises his pity. He doesn't just sit back doing nothing about it. And he's the God of all comfort. He's the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. The word compassion is from the Latin word come and pate. Come meaning together, and pate meaning suffer. Together, suffer. I want you to think about that. The God, the Father of coming together and suffering. And the God of all comfort. The word comfort implying relief from distress. The word comfort in the Greek is paraklesis, which means to cry out. It comes from another Greek word, which means to call near. But we start to see that this God that he's talking about, that he's praising, is the God and the Father who not only pities people when they suffer, but he exercises his power in that time of pity. That he doesn't let us suffer alone, he comes together with us in our suffering and gives us relief from distress. He's the God who is the Father and God of all comfort when we cry out and when we call him near. Remember in John chapter 14 through 16, Jesus met with his disciples in the upper room. And he was telling them he was going away, but he was going to ask the Father to send another comforter. In the Greek, that word was parakletos, which was an intercessor, a consoler. Comes from the word paraclete, which means to come alongside. So we start to understand in all this that this God of comfort, this God of compassion, is a God who pities us when we suffer. But he doesn't just pity us, he exercises his will and his power as he's pitying us, providing relief from distress. As we call out to him, he comes near to us and he comes alongside us. Paul says, praise be to this God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. Five times there he talks about this word comfort. Crying out, calling near. The God who comes alongside us, who comforts us in our troubles, so that we in turn can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort that we ourselves have received. That God comes alongside us in the Comforter, in the Advocate, the Holy Spirit. He comes alongside us so that through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can go and comfort others who suffer the same things. Just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. Through Christ our comfort overflows into the world. Let me continue a little bit about this because it's kind of a hard concept to understand. But just to answer the question, why God allows suffering? He allows us to suffer, His people to suffer, so that in our suffering we can cry out to Him and know that He comes right alongside us, that we're not alone, and that He comforts us. He relieves our distress and helps us to know that He's in control, so that we can go to others and say, not only I know how you feel, but I have felt how you feel, and I've been there. And we can comfort others with the word that God will make a way when it seems there is no way. He works in ways we cannot see, but we trust He'll make a way. So we have to have a proper perspective, first of all, that our sufferings are worthless compared with the glory that we're going to receive someday. We have to understand God's divine purpose in suffering, that He's wooing us to Him. He allows us to suffer to draw us closer to Him. And thirdly, we have to understand offering our earthly response, as Paul did. Now here's Paul. This man suffered. This man suffered. He was beaten, he was flogged, he was rejected, he was floating around in the Mediterranean Sea more than once, shipwrecked. And what did he say? Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our earthly response, as we're reminded in Ecclesiastes, in the day of prosperity, be happy. But in the day of adversity, consider this, God has made the one as well as the other so that man may not discover anything that will be after him. In other words, God has made them both, prosperity and adversity. We don't understand why. We don't understand the results, but we have to trust that the God of all comfort is doing it not only for our good, but for the good of all people. Let me give you some examples. We get a thorn in our hand. We're working in the garden. We get a thorn in our hand. Oh, it hurts and it festers. What are we supposed to do? Curse the bush? Curse that beautiful rose bush that God created? Curse God for putting thorns on the rose? We don't understand why He did, but He did. It's up to Him. He's sovereign. He does what He wants. Remember the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15. He came to his father and he says to his father, I want my inheritance right now. Give me my inheritance so that I can go and do what I want. The father says, all right, here you go. Here's your inheritance. And the father let him go. Why? Why did the father let him go? Why didn't he say, no, you need to stay here because I love you and you're only going to go out into the world and get in trouble. But the father let him go because he knew his son. He knew what the son was going to find out there. And he knew the son would come back. And he did. He came back and the father took him back in because the father loved him. How many of you have taught your children to ride a bike? In our family, we have a little saying, pain is a good teacher. You let your children learn to ride a bike. How many skinned knees have they had? Why didn't you just say, no, you can't ride a bike because I don't want you to skin your knee? You understand the skinned knee brings perseverance. It brings strength to the soul of the child as they grow. Right? Part of their learning to ride the bike is doing it so that they don't fall and skin their knee. But it's only after they do it that they understand what can happen. We're not robots. We're human beings. How many of us would be mad if God said, no, you're not doing this, you're doing this? If God controlled us like robots, we'd all be mad at Him. We'd say, we don't have any choice. God, we're just like a bunch of puppets or robots. He gives us the ability to make choices. Sometimes those choices are not good choices. We find ourselves in trouble. Should we curse God? How dare we curse God for loving us and wooing us to Himself? He says, go ahead. Go ahead. Do it. It's a great way to learn. Sometimes it's so painful. Sometimes it's so fatal. But we know that God will make a way when it seems there is no way. And we have to continue to praise God, the Father of all comfort. I knew a man who lost a grandson in a drowning accident once. He said, I don't go to church anymore. He said, I don't even know if I believe in God anymore. And he started telling the story about his grandson drowning in a pond. And how, why would God allow that to happen? Why? I couldn't tell the man because God's trying to call out to you to draw near to Him for help, because the man wasn't there spiritually. But I sat with the man and I said, I don't understand why God allowed it. I don't understand it. But I can tell you one thing, that someday you will see a greater, more powerful good from that incident that was so painful in your life, because I've been there. And I've wondered myself, and I've cried out to God and called out to God. You know this word, paraklesis. I've cried out and called out to God. Why, God, are you allowing this to happen in my life? It's destroying me. And the only answer God would ever give me is, my grace is sufficient. Trust me. And after a time crying out and praying, after a time I started to see the Paraclete coming alongside me, the Holy Spirit bringing me back, wooing me back into His presence because He loves me. It's sad that some will believe in God until things go wrong, expecting God to be some kind of protective sugar daddy. Oh, God's a great God. Oh, yeah, I go to church, I love God and all that. Something goes wrong, they throw God in the can. They throw Him away like garbage. My guess is God would make everything a bed of roses in our lives. We would never think of giving Him praise for the beauty of the roses. We would probably find some way to give ourselves the credit and just expect the same thing all the time. If God just made life a bed of roses, what would we be? We would be spoiled brats. I got this illustration the other day. Don't ask me why. Take the fire truck, for instance. I believe in the fire truck. There it sits. I believe in the fire truck. Ladder on top. It's a great truck. But I can't really appreciate the fire truck until the building's burned down. Should I curse the fire truck because it didn't prevent the fire? Absolutely not. That's life. It happens. Praise be to God for providing fire trucks to put the fires out, to save lives. We have to remember we have a deceitful enemy running around setting our lives on fire, causing all kinds of trouble and trying to get us to curse God, the God who comes alongside us when we call out to Him. Always. We're going to have problems, folks. We're going to suffer. We're human beings. We're in the flesh. We're going to get sick. We're going to die. Our loved ones are going to get sick. We're going to struggle financially. We're going to struggle socially. We're going to struggle psychologically, mentally, in all those ways. I can't wait to get to see Adam and Eve. Because ever since that first sin, the earth has been suffering and humanity along with it. If you understand what I'm trying to say. We're human beings. We're part of God's great plan. And when we praise God, especially in our suffering, oh, the old devil's mad. He is really mad when we can get on our knees and say, God, I'm suffering here. The doctor just told me this or that. I just got another bill in the mail. God, I'm suffering. But I praise you. I praise you, God, because I know you are coming alongside me to provide a way. Let me quick give you Paul's perspective on this subject real quick from Romans. From chapter 5, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into His grace in which we now stand. We stand in God's grace as followers of Jesus Christ. When we suffer, we're not falling out of grace, we're falling into God's grace when we call out to Him. And we stand in His grace. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us. Because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Secondly, from Romans chapter 8. And I want you to think about this. In any amount of suffering in your life, whether it's through another person, to your job, in your school, physically, whatever it is, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Who shall separate us? No, in all things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And I'm convinced, this is Paul writing this, I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. Think of Job. Perfect example. And I encourage you to sit down and read Job chapter 38 through 41. He suffered. He wondered why. He asked why. His friends tried to give him examples why or what was going on. They didn't know a thing. God was about His own plan for His own good. And God spoke finally. And He said to Job, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth?" And He went on to expose His glory and His power in chapter 38 through 41. Setting the record straight, God is God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the provider of all things, the ultimate, eternal, living, and loving God. Who are we to curse Him when we suffer? But all when we praise Him, is He pleased. And always does He come alongside us, giving us comfort and mercy, compassion and peace. I encourage you when you suffer, in whatever way it might be, not to try to figure out why, but to understand that God's still God and He's the God of comfort, and it's time to get on our knees and cry out to Him. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we don't understand life often as we struggle through life and sometimes suffer aches and pains of spiritual and physical kinds that life produces. But our suffering produces many fruits, especially if we fall on our knees to praise You and give You thanks for being a God who comes alongside us. You're faithful, You're true to Your word, and You're everlasting, and You'll never leave us nor forsake us. Whatever we suffer this week, help us to remember that we are Yours, and we stand in Your grace. I pray, God, that You comfort us and bring us mercy and peace in Christ's name. Amen. And let us stand together as we a reminder of God's grace as we sing together number 343.